Good morning. Instagram was down this morning. World Cup match between India and New Zealand was abandoned yesterday. So overall productivity remained high. Except, of course, amidst the doctors in West Bengal. They are still busy striking, and joining them are now some New Delhi doctors. It is the sweet-smelling Friday. The date is 14 June, and striking junior doctors of Kolkata's government hospitals yesterday defied Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee's 2 p.m. deadline to get back to work, saying that won't happen until they get better security. They also met Governor Kesari Nath Tripathi to discuss the situation. Mamata Banerjee has accused the BJP and the CPM of engineering the strike and playing Hindu-Muslim politics. The strike started after a junior doctor was assaulted at a government-run hospital in Kolkata by the relatives of a deceased patient. The BJP said the Chief Minister is not taking action as the miscreants are her voters. Doctors at Delhi's All India Institute of Medical Sciences and the Delhi Medical Association have called for a strike on Friday. Now, a full-blown political war has started over the assault on the doctor and the subsequent strike. Senior BJP leader Mukul Roy has alleged that members of a particular community who belong to Trinamool carried out the attack on doctors. CPM Central Committee member Sujan Chakrabarty said Mamata Banerjee does not seem interested in ending the impasse. To which Ms. Banerjee hit back and said, "The BJP, with help from the CPM, is indulging in Hindu-Muslim politics. I am shocked to see their love affair." BJP Chief Amit Shah is encouraging his party cadre to create communal tension and run propaganda on Facebook. "But not only you, Mamata B, I am equally shocked at seeing two extremists joining hands to fight another extremist. Who called it doctor strike and not a surgical strike?" Well, there are plenty of issues to outrage about, but somehow there are some which take away more outrage than the others. For one, the next bit of news is just extremely sad and condemnable, but no one will outrage for it. No, it's not a Muslim story, it's rather a Dalit story, taking India back to the glorious old days of the Britishers. Because now, the new Op India Research Institute suggests caste was concocted by the British. Anyway, in Madhya Pradesh, a Dalit villager's decision to hire a band party to welcome the bridegroom at his daughter's wedding in a village in MP drew a cruel retribution for upper caste villagers. Because the Dalits did not heed their warning of not using a band party and simply using a dhol. No, there were no lynchings, no beating up. Why drown them with water when you can just pollute the well? A retribution from upper caste villages came in the form of kerosene being put into a well used by so-called low castes. Since we are on poison, and here I mean the casteism, we so profoundly deny or reject. I move to another story. This one, though, is a part of a big disturbing trend. TikTok. 25-year-old mother of two children committed suicide yesterday in Tamil Nadu after she was scolded by her husband and prevented from using the short video-making app. Anita recorded herself as she drank the poison and then sent the video via WhatsApp to her husband, who is in Singapore. This is not the first time TikTok has led to somebody's death. Well, honestly, there are very few things that shock me anymore, but there is plenty of amusement out there courting your attention. Since we are on extremism, casteism, this one news item in today's TOI took the bite out of a dog's bark. Pragya, the terror accused, cancer cured via Kauhureen Singh Thakur, also now an MP, who was given a clean chit by the most honourable NIA. Now, the retired officer of the Bomb Detection and Disposal Squad, the 121st witness to depose, told the special NIA court that in the wee hours of 30th September 2008, he saw spare parts of vehicles, including a bicycle and a motorcycle, essence bottles and other materials scattered at the spot where the blast had taken place. His report, written in Marathi, said a handler and a dog, Sean, were present. The trained dog indicated the presence of explosive substances on the bike parts. Now, during cross-examination, defense lawyer Ranjit Sangle asked why the report hadn't described any other article from the spot apart from the bike. The witness said the sniffer dog had given a signal only there and denied suggestion that the handler had not shown the dog the other material at the spot. Then Sangle asked, "Can it be said the other scattered things did not have explosive substance or the dog couldn't point it out?" To which the witness replied, the dog only barked at the LML motorcycle. The retired officer said, the dog only gives a signal and it is for the handler to interpret it. And now we come to the fun part. When defense lawyer Sangle asked how the dog had barked, the court took objection. Thankfully, voices were raised on both sides. Recording the exchange, the court said, the court asked how it can be answered. How is the barking of the dog to be recorded? Well, some seriously existential questions being asked in the court. Sangle said he wanted to know how many times the dog had barked, once or twice. The witness said he did not know. As for Sean the dog, thankfully, he was not called for examination to bark in the court, having gracefully retired from service and now dead. Well, in a stark contrast to the news on India's progress, we would also like to tell you, in one of the most ambitious projects, India is planning to launch its own space station. Indian Space Research Organization, or ISRO, Chief K. Sivan said yesterday. He also said that India will not join the International Space Station. The project will be an extension of the Gangayaan mission, which aims to send an Indian crew to space in 2022. Well, there's plenty of time to head to space. For now, let's head to international news section, and we start with Sudan. Not sure how much you know, but the world is trying to turn blue for Sudan. The blue wave started in honor of Mohammed Mattar, a victim of Sudan's brutal military crackdown whose favorite color was blue. The 26-year-old engineer was fatally shot during the 3rd June crackdown blamed by protesters on Rapid Support Forces, a paramilitary group led by the senior member of Sudan's ruling Transitional Military Council. Mattar was reportedly shot while trying to protect two women during the bloody dispersal of the protest camp outside the military headquarters. Social media users are showing solidarity with protesters in Sudan by changing their profile pictures. And from waves of hatred, we head to ocean of potential war. Iran says it categorically rejects US claims that it is behind attacks on two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo had blamed Iran for the unprovoked attacks on Thursday. Dozens of crew members were rescued after the blast on the Japanese-owned Kokuka Courageous and the Front Altair, owned by a Norwegian company. The blast in one of the world's busiest oil routes comes a month after four oil tankers were attacked off the UAE and at a time when Iran and Japan were holding talks. And before we head out, none can provide comedy better than Comedy Central. Well, wrong, it's Donald Trump, and he has done it again, and most probably he did it to get back at the British. Or maybe he's just that dumb. We would never know. United States President Donald Trump yesterday lauded his own diplomacy with royalty and foreign leaders, but mistakenly cast the heir to the British throne, Prince Charles, as the Prince of Wales. WHALES. Well, that is our cue to bid you goodbye. Have a safe weekend. We will be back on Monday with probably a few Muslims arrested in India for allegedly cheering for Pakistan and the usual blah blah that happens around every Indo-Pak cricket match. That is, if this too is not washed out. Goodbye from TeePod.com.